sing in the same song of praise, and let us worship the Lord. Blessed in life, long in his life, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are his wonders and great his ways, come let us worship the Lord.
Let us proclaim,
Jesus shall reign, come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Over your crown of mercy, offering fire and offering prayer. Worship, worship. Come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Come let us worship the Lord.
He is the King, heart of the King.
Come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Into the victor of Calvary. Come let us worship the Lord.
Jesus
has won. Come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice.
Come let us worship, worship the Lord.
Come Jehovah, your Son of Man, offering
lion and offering lamb.
Worship, worship.
Come let us worship the Lord forever.
Worship, worship.
Come let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And as you may know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero are visiting with family in Oregon, and more specifically, they attended their granddaughter's graduation from high school. We are pleased, however, that our brother Ramil Yalde will be bringing the message today from the Scriptures, and we are truly blessed here in this congregation that God has raised up men here that are skilled in the handling of God's Word. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Scriptures, or searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question in Romans 11, verse 26, what does Paul mean when he says, all Israel shall be saved? Also, I want to bring your attention again to the insert in your bulletin regarding the Father and Son breakfast. And this is coming up now on this coming Saturday, June 16th. The Tomlinsons will be hosting breakfast fellowship in their home. The breakfast starts at 8:30 a.m. There is a sign-up sheet in the kitchen area, and there are also postcard size invitations, so you might pick up some of those, and feel free to invite relatives, neighbors, whoever. And we will be hearing from Pastor Downey, I believe, at breakfast time. Also, please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 68, Psalm 66, verse 8. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 231, Jesus Saves. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 201, He is Able to Deliver Thee. Please remain standing for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in You that You have brought us here today. You have gathered us together to listen to Your Word and to listen to Your voice, to praise Your holy name, for You are worthy. You have opened up the hearts of dead men and given them life so that they may see Your face. And we rejoice in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, that You will lead our hearts and our minds to seek Your face continually, that You will draw us closer to You for Your divine and holy service. And we do pray, O Lord, for those that hear over the internet, those that are listening over the radio, and those that will listen later over the tape and CD, that their hearts will be drawn closer to You, that they might serve You and worship You in spirit and in truth, and that each of us will walk daily to proclaim the goodness and the grace of God. And Lord, I do lift up to You our pastor as he is in Oregon and in celebrating with his granddaughter her graduation. And I myself celebrated with my son for his graduation and many others, Lord, marking a milestone in the lives of young people, completing the high school education and looking forward to what You will do with them and how You will use them in the years to come. And I pray for Your divine protection as Pastor and his wife will be returning home on Wednesday, that You, Lord, will protect them and bless their travel and encourage their hearts in You. We also rejoice, O Lord, and thank You that Dr. McCormick is here with us today. And though he is in pain, that there were no broken bones. And for that, Lord, we give You the honor and the glory.
We also pray for Don McDowell, as though that he is doing better and he's at a graduation today, that, Lord, that you would bless him and that you would continue to heal and strengthen him. We also pray for George Bedotto, the father of Joseph, that, Lord, that you would comfort his aches and his pains, and more importantly, comfort his heart towards you, that he would yield himself to you and follow in the power of Jesus Christ. We also praise you, Lord, for we have missionaries throughout the world, Fred and Carol Lewis, who are now serving in Pasadena, Carl and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rhodes serving in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Peretti working with the drug addicts in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dante Maruja Rabinas in Iquitos, Peru, and Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And Lord, we also pray for those that are more local, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, and the Christian Athletic Association out of San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey of Motorsport Ministries. Lord, we pray for each of these missionaries to follow the Spirit of God and to follow the proclamation of the Word of God, that people's lives may be transformed and people's lives may be changed. And Father, we thank you and rejoice in you that you, through your people, continually provide for the works of this ministry. And we pray for these funds, for the giver, that their heart would be a worshipful heart towards you and proclaim serving you, and for the recipients that would be used for your honor, for your glory, for your work. And we praise your name, that you will be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of 2 Kings. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 449. We will be reading 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and the miracle of your salvation for all that believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you sent him to pay the penalty for our sin and that we were made clean by the shedding of his blood. We thank you for true history that is recorded in the scriptures so that we know that you are the only true and living God. We praise you and tell of your greatness. Give us the strength and the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to the lost. We pray now for your servant, our teacher, and our brother, Ramil Yalde. Bless him as he comes to bring the truths from your word. Let each one listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD personally gain the wisdom only your word can impart and be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, brother, for reading the Word of God. It is always a pleasure to stand before thee and share the scriptures. These are the words of God. They're not my words. They're not your words. We couldn't write anything close to this if we wanted to. But these are the words of God. So as we come to the presence of Almighty, and shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer. O Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, we thank You, we thank You for Thy Word. Because it is through Thy Word that we see You. Be with us this hour and help us to see You clearly and to hear Thy Holy Spirit. Remove me from the picture so this congregation will see You in action. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you came here to hear a sermon about Naaman, you're wrong. If you came here to hear a story about an Old Testament event, you're wrong. If you came here to listen to Elisha and what did he do, you're wrong. Because what we're going to talk about here is not them, but who they represent, and that is Jesus. So what I want you to do, keep your finger in 2 Kings, but I would like you to go to Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament. And I would like to show you that Jesus Himself preached about this man. And I want to show you what happened when He spoke of Naaman in Luke chapter 4, verse 24. Luke chapter 4, verse 24 through 30. And He said, this is Jesus, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the lands. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save," that means except, "unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Verse 27. Now listen. "And many lepers were in Israel in that time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Very simple preaching, correct? And look what happens in verse 28. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with joy." Hallelujah! No. "They were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Now, as I'm reading this, I'm wondering, what did he preach that people got upset? They were filled with wrath. What did he say? He is in synagogue teaching. He brings two examples from Old Testament, and they want to kill him. Why? What did he say? Do you find anything? No. But he preached grace. When you preach grace, people don't like it. When you preach about sovereignty of God, people don't like it. When you are told that you are a sinner, and there's only one way for you to be cleansed, and that's through the prophet, Jesus Christ, people don't like it. Because we have pride. So what I would like you to do today, with the 32 minutes that I have left, that 2 minutes is very golden, you know? I would like to bring to you a picture of a grace, a sinner that comes to Christ. And how is it possible that a sinner comes to Christ? How is it possible? May God speak through His holy word today. So now let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to dissect this section in 7 parts today about this person. And we're going to learn a lot through this story. The first thing that we need to look at, who is this man Naaman? Who is he? in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. We read, "Now Naaman," who is he? "Captain of the host of the king of Syria. Great man with his master. Honorable. Because he was powerful in his own might." No, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. You see the character of this man? Captain, a great man, honorable. Even the Lord used him to deliver his country. He is bigger than Schwarzkopf. He is bigger than Bush. He is the man because God used him. Do you know that God uses you in your life? Have you seen his power in your life? Have you seen the power of his might directing you to do what he wants you to do? This man, a Syrian, knows it. But there's a problem. The verse doesn't end with all this goody-goody stuff about Mr. Naaman. He has a problem. What is his problem? "But he was a leper." The same is true with us today. We all come from different backgrounds. We got the Italians. We got the Brazilians. We got the Filipinos. We got the Argentinians. We got the Americans. We got the Chinese. We got the Assyrians. We got all. But we all have something in common. We have power. We are honorable people. We are the big boss in our company. We are a good servant where we work. We got money. We got fame. We got Rolls Royce and hopefully one of these days a Ferrari for our pastor. But we all have the same problem. And what is that problem? We are all sinners. But, that word "but" changes the whole paradigm. We are all sinners. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 13. And I want you to read with me about leprosy. We don't hear about that much today, except if you go on TV and look at some of those programs that are on at 3 in the morning, because nobody is really interested to learn about this disease. But leprosy is when your body starts decaying. When you start losing everything that is on your face, your skin goes. Instead of a nose, you got 2 holes here, and you look ugly. You think we're ugly now? Just imagine us without the mustache and the gel and the hair, and the skin is just decaying, the bone starts showing, and it's a bad disease and it's contagious. It kills everyone that touches it. But look at what happens if you were a leper in the Old Testament. Leviticus 13 in verse 45. Leviticus 13, 45. "And the leper in whom the plague is," this is what you should do, the scripture says, "his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his lip, upper lip, and he shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' so people don't come close to him. Because he's contagious. Because if he touches you, you may have the disease and you may end up screaming, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days," verse 46, "wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be" what? "Defiled." He is what? "Unclean. He shall dwell alone." You get it? "Without the camp," outside of the camp of Israel, "shall his habitation be." Leprosy is a picture of all of us who are sinners, in bondage of sin. When we sin, it is not just hurting one another. When you sin against your mother, It is not just making her upset. Oh, you know, we're going to hug and everything is going to be fine. When we sin, we are sinners. And sinners dwell alone. Sinners are declared to be unclean. The only hope that the leper had while he was abiding outside of the camp of Israel, outside of the congregation, alone, was to die. The best thing that could happen to a leper was to die, so he could put aside all the pain in his life. The scripture is very clear with us. You don't have to turn, but in Romans chapter 5 and 3, we read in verse 12 of Romans 5, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." You see what I'm saying? And so death passed upon all the Italians. No. I wish we could sort of dissect it into a corner and stay away from it. But that's not the case. "And sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You follow me? Leprosy is a picture of a person who is plagued with this disease called sin. We may feel that we are not alone, but I tell you, if you ain't got Christ, you're alone. You know what I'm saying? You may feel like you're having fun. You're okay. You still have your parents around you. But I tell you, if you are a sinner without Christ, you are outside of the congregation of God, living alone. Therefore, Naaman here is a picture of a lost soul in need of a repentance. He needs to be saved. Do you need to be saved today? Not saved from the pain I have because of my surgery. No. Not saved from the wrath of my father because I got a B+ instead of an A on my exam. No. But do you really desire to know Christ? Have you felt the fact that you live alone in sin outside? Let's go to 2 Kings again, chapter 5. Let's look at this person, Naaman, and let's figure out and learn from him. Learn from him. This Naaman is a sinner in need of a repentance, in need of a Savior. But this sinner, when he hears the gospel, he just keeps making mistakes after mistake after mistake. Look at his first mistake in verse 2 through 5. When he heard how he could be healed, he went to the wrong place. Look with me in 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 2 to 5. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on" who? Naaman's wife. "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of leprosy." You see this little girl? She saw a man desperately in need of a Savior, desperately in need of a doctor. And she remembered, even though she is in a captivity, she is serving an enemy, she is still remembering a prophet in Israel, and she is telling this maid and her boss, she's telling, "If my Lord will go to that prophet in Israel, he will be saved." Wow. No wonder you have to teach our little kids and boys and girls about the truth of the scripture. The Lord knows where he would put them and how he would use them. And verse 4. Look what happens. This is what we do with the scripture and the gospel. We confuse everything. There is a clear direction. Go to the prophet in Israel and you will be saved. Verse 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus says the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. What happened? The little maid tells the boss to go get saved. All of a sudden the king is involved, and the king is going to write a letter to the king of Israel. You see what happened? This man is going to the wrong place. She tells him where to go, but Naaman ends up in the king's palace. The problem is that the sinners don't want to go to the right place. This prophet Jesus is able to hear you. This prophet Jesus is able to save you. We will try everything before we go to Him. We will light candles in the churches. We will pay 35% every Sunday. Some of us pray 90% every Sunday. We will do everything possible in our power except going to Jesus. We have pride. I am the captain. I will deal with the royalties. My master king, what shall I do? Well, let's design a plan. Instead of listening to that girl who doesn't know anything, we need to go talk to the big chief in Israel. Who is that prophet? I don't know who he is, but I know the boss. So let's go to the big guy. Immediately when we hear the gospel, we confuse the gospel. Because we have pride. We don't want to go to Christ. But you know what? God has His finger on this man. He will not let him go until He saves him. And you'll see that today. And this prophet here in Israel is a picture of who? Jesus Christ. And the Naaman is a picture of who? A sinner. So first, he goes to the wrong place. He ends up in the king's palace. Then, he takes the wrong things with him. Look what he's packing. Verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. This is your credential, Mr. Naaman. I will tell this king how good you are. This is how your GPA was in school. And this is how many people you killed. And this is how many chariots you managed. I will give him a resume like you wouldn't believe. And I'll lie a little bit to make it better. So he can get that job. Go to him. He'll take care of you. And he departed. And look what he did with. He took with him 10 talents of silver. 6,000 pieces of gold. And 10 charges of raiment. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to thee. This is the king of Syria writing to the king of Israel. I have sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy. Who? The king of Israel? Saving you, a sinner? Verse 7. But this king is smart. He knows who the real boss is. And it ain't him. Look at this. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man thus sent unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? You see, he takes with him the wrong stuff. He is trying to buy his way into the favor of God. He is trying to please God with his goods. Brother Chris, what do you take with you when you go to God? How much money can you bribe him with? Do you bring your home with you? Do you bring all of your suits, Armani, in there with you? And say, God, take them all. These are all yours. All I want. Please heal me. You start bargaining with God. all men by nature, when first awakened to the sense of their need, foolishly imagine that they can earn God's approval. They can earn God's favor. They can earn God's love. All men, by nature, want to do and gain the merit of God. And this man is not a stranger to that. He goes, he takes with him lots of money. And he wants to show that if you do this, I will give you this. If you heal me, I will do this. Let's deal. But can you deal with our God? Maybe you can deal with the cows and the trees of the forest, but with this Jehovah, you ain't going to be able to deal. I'm telling you. He is not a stock market broker. He doesn't call you every day trying to figure out how much, what, when, what. No, 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 no. I'll show you an example. That also there was a man, the prodigal. You remember the prodigal son? When we read this verse, we go by it so quickly. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Everybody knows about this prodigal son. He wanted to do it his way. He wanted his money. He wanted his inheritance. He took it. He went and he just blew it away. And then he's feeling the pain of not having a father with him, not having the food on the table. And look what he does when he's awakened, just like Naaman is. Very important. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. Look what he says in his heart. And then he came to himself. This is that son. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18. And I will arise. He comes to his senses and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your what? Hired servants. He wants to get paid. This prodigal son, even though he's awakened, but he still wants to deal with his daddy. He doesn't want to be the son. He wants to be someone that works so he can have the bread, so he can have food, so he can have stuff to spare, like in verse 17. You understand? He doesn't want the sonship. Even though God awakened him, he wants to work for a living. You understand? He's still not 100%. Just like Naaman. He's dealing with God. Hire me, Daddy. I'll work for you. I just want to have food. I want to see my brothers and sisters. Pay me so I don't have to feed the pigs. They're unclean. And I have to touch them every day. Makes me miserable when I'm in my sin every day, Dad. Can you just bring me in and I'll work for you? Wrong. That daddy will never let his son be a hired servant. If you're the son, you're the son. You see what I'm saying? What can you ever do, Anthony? What can you ever do for God? What does He ever need from you? What? What can we give Him? What can we bring with ourselves to Him and for Him? What? Nothing. Nothing. Poor Naaman. Poor Naaman. Bring all these worthless things. I just feel bad about the horses and the cows and the donkeys. I have to carry all of this. It's a waste. Creating ozone, you know? Just going and wasting all of these hundreds of camels and donkeys. And for what? Poor name. It's like that Rubik's Cube. The puzzle is coming, but it's still not there. So he goes to the wrong place. He takes the wrong things with him. Now, he ends up in Elisha's office, but he has a problem. He's got pride. Look with me in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 5. He finally comes to the right place, but now there's something in him that needs to get fixed. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee as thou shalt be clean. Did you see this man? He is coming with all of his soldiers and all of his money. Oh boy, the big guy is coming, right? The president is coming, riding with all these cars around him, security, rifles and helicopters and F-15s flying all over him. He stands by the door. Is he going in? No way. I'm too prideful. I got my chariot. I got my horses. I got my money. I got my people. He's got pride. But does Elisha come out to see him? Do you think Elisha is that desperate to come and beg, Naaman, please, come into my home. Oh, please, Naaman, I need you. Oh, you got it wrong. Look with me in Isaiah 31, verse 1. Look at the scripture. Powerful scripture. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. Woe to you and I if I trust in my horses and my chariots because I got lots of them. But, verse 1 of Isaiah 31, they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You see what I mean? Woe unto us if all of our trust, if all of our might is on the stuff we got, the fame we got, the power we got, the looks we got. You know, Anthony thinks he's a good-looking boy. Maybe he is going to put a lot of weight on it, but I tell you something, you're going to get old and you're going to look like your daddy. See what I'm saying to you? Don't put trust on your looks, man. It ain't going to work. I thought I was the only Coca-Cola in the desert. It didn't happen. Now I'm a big pumpkin trying to make my way through the road. It doesn't work. It does not work. It doesn't work. The Psalm 20 says, verse 7, some trust in the chariots and some in horses. Now listen, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You see what I'm saying? Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in your might. It ain't going to work. Now listen, I want to tell you something here about Naaman. Naaman, now listen, Frank, Naaman wanted to be considered and treated as a great man who happened to be a leper. That's what he wanted. But all he was, now listen, he was a leper who happened to be, for a little while, a great man. You see what I'm saying? We want to be considered as great people. That we had a little problem here and there with sin. You know what I mean? Yeah. But all we are is sinners. That for a little while, we are great people. Elisha had to tell Naaman the truth. When you go to the prophet, he ain't going to lie to you. When you go to that prophet, Jesus Christ, he is not going to sugarcoat anything for you. He's going to give it to you the way it is. And one thing he knew about Naaman, he needed to be humbled. The guy's got too much pride, and he needed to be humbled. Man wants to complicate the gospel. We preachers and sometimes deacons and members, and we just go into the gospel and we just complicate it. We take Christ out and we try to make it work. It won't work. The message of the gospel is very clean and simple. It's two words. Wash and be clean. Done. That's it. That is the message of salvation. If you ain't washed by the blood, if you don't have the Word in you, if you're not cleansed by the Word, you are not clean. Wash and be clean. Don't wash. You're dirty. Wash, you go to heaven. Don't wash, you go to hell. Pick. A stinky person in hell, or a Christy, Giuliano, sitting in heaven. Which one do you want? Which one? Now the only way a sinner can be cleansed is through the Word of God. You get it? Where do we read that? Ephesians 5:26. Go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. The only way a sinner can be cleansed is through the Word. The washing in the Jordan is a picture of us being washed with the Word of God. Notice, I did not say being baptized. On purpose, I did not say being baptized. I'm talking about the Word. Ephesians 5:26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the Word. You want to be clean? You can buy shampoos all you want. That's okay. But you also need the Word. It is the Word that cleans you. It is the Word, when I read the Word and I read about myself, it's a mirror, and I look at me and I'm disgusted because I see the sins of me written here about me. And this Word starts cleaning me. Starts cleaning me. Naaman has pride. And Naaman has his own salvation plan. We also come to Christ, but we come with our term sheet. Now, God, this is what I think we should do so I can be saved. What do you think? You can make that argument with Muhammad, but you ain't going to make it with this God. This is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is no dead person who made 700 people. He's not that. Look at this. In verse 11 of 2 Kings 5. Naaman came up with his own plan. Look at what it is. But Naaman was wroth. He was angry. Why? Because Elisha didn't come out to see him. And went away and said, look what he's saying. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Look at what he's thinking. I thought man has his own salvation plan. I thought he will come to me. Jesus, I thought, you know, you're just going to show up and you're going to come to me. Even though I have pride, I don't want you. I thought you would stand before me. I thought you would call upon the name your God, his God, not my God. That's you. We're Syrians. You're Israelites. I'm here just to do business with you. I thought he was going to call upon the name his God. I thought he will put his hands over the place that I'm sick. And I thought he will recover me. That's what I was thinking. Man wants to return to his old ways after he is not accepting the gospel of grace. Look what he does in verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. So what does man do? We return, we want to go back to our old ways. I thought this Jesus Christ is going to do all of these things for me. But He's not doing it, so what do? I want to go back to my old rivers, the false gospels. Those are clean. When you drink those, you got six women next to you. It's party time. In Damascus, we have fun. Nobody tells me that I got to do ABC. I'm the king in my house. And man returns to his old ways. He wants to go back to his false teachers. He wants to go back to his false prophets. And Naaman wants to go back to Syria. He has seen and heard a little bit about Christ. He didn't like what he heard. He's angry. Now is the time where God will strike. Right now. And look what happens in verse 13 and 14. And his servants came near. Thank God for servants. Thank God for those who serve. Thank God for those that are not in the play, not on the pulpit, not teaching every day, and not having the suit every day. Thank God for those that watch carefully and hear. And then they do, quietly. Nobody knows about them. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their names were. But we know that they did something. Look what happened with the servants. They came near and spake unto him and said, My father, look at the love and tender. They didn't say, you, blah, blah, blah. You don't understand. You got a brick in your head. What's the matter with you? Don't you get it? The guy has done miracles, man. He will help you. No. They come. And they're full with love. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't thou not have done it? How much rather than he said unto you, wash and be clean? If he would have asked you to go bring more money, wouldn't you have done it? Yes. If he would have asked you to build 10 churches for me, wouldn't you have done it? Yes. He would have said, donate a huge organ just like the cathedral in Utah. Wouldn't you have done it? Yes. Then why don't you just listen to the gospel? Why don't you just go wash and be clean? Why? You see that? These servants are those that Holy Spirit has given them the power to preach the gospel. Those that Holy Spirit has called so they could share, just like that little maid in verse 2. Those that they have God in their heart and they don't know what to do with it except share it. Those that they could see their neighbors and fathers and mothers dying and going to hell and all they can do is go love them and say, Daddy, why don't you just wash and be clean? Enough of this nonsense. Enough of this argument. Enough of this wrath that you have in your heart. Why don't you just wash and be clean? And in verse 14, that's when Naaman gets it. All of a sudden, it clicks. Has it clicked in you? It sort of clicked in me in 1986 when I came into this church. It clicked. The pastor was teaching on Psalm 1. Never forget. Never forget. And it clicked. I was confused. I tell you, I was confused. It just clicked. Then he went down. Look at this man. And dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Here we go. The man, listen. And he obeys exactly to what Elisha said. And his flesh came again like to him, like the flesh of a little child. And he was what? Clean. Naaman listened to his servants. Why don't you wash and be clean? Can you see it now? this great general of the army, with all of his possessions and all the fame, he had to go into this dirty river and get dipped 7 times. He had to take off his helmet. He had to take off his armor. Oh, ugliness is coming out. People are looking at him. Look at that. Oh, my. You know, you look good in a suit. Have you ever seen yourself in a swimsuit lately? That's not good. It's ugly. You know what I'm saying? The ugliness came out. He takes the breastplates out, the coats out, the boots and the shoes out, and the shirt off, and man, it's ugly sight. Now everybody knows the guy is a leper. Some people may have been confused why Naaman is here. You know, they're servants, they don't know. Now they know. Look at my master, he's a sinner. Look at my master, he's diseased. Look at my master humbling himself. He's listening to this prophet of Israel. Look at that witness of this man to his household. Taking off his clothes. Going into that river. Dipping how many times? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then at the 7th time, boom. His flesh, just like my little 5-year-old. Shiny, fresh. You see some, let me tell you something. If I die on the plane going to China tomorrow, you don't forget this. If you want to go up, you first have to go down. Do you understand? Ain't nobody prideful in heaven saying, I did it my way. Frank Sinatra doesn't play in heaven. I'm telling you. There is nobody in heaven that says, I did it. If you want to go up, first we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. You remember the publican? Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, Naaman comes back to Mr. Elisha. Now, if he is the same man, you would expect to see the same behavior, don't you? Look at what he does in verse 15. And he returned, this is 2 Kings 5. And he returned to the man of God, this is Naaman. He and all his company, and came, and what? Stood before him, and said, this is confession time, behold, now I know, there is no God in the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I beseech you, I beg you, take a blessing of thy servant. You see what I'm saying? Now he's humbled. He comes into the house. He is face to face with his Savior. He says to his Savior, I know there is only one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it. So all of this is yours. I don't want it anymore. This way of giving is different than that way of giving. This way of giving is all you got is His. That way of giving was, let me buy my salvation. You see the difference? This is a humble man. This is a man who knows who God is. This is a man who has tasted the salvation of his Father. This is a man who is saved. May God, in His mercy, do for me what I can do for myself and save me. And may God, in His mercy, do to you what you cannot do for yourself. What we cannot do for ourselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We want You to be the Lord of our life. May we surrender. may we believe, may we lay down our armors, and may we lay down our attitudes and be humble in your sight with a broken and a contrite spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We praise Thee, Lord, this joyful day. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we magnify Thy name. Laudamus, Laudamus, Thy majesty proclaim. Laudamus, 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 we praise Thee, Lord, this joyful day. We bow, we bow, we magnify Thy name. Laudamus, 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 proclaim. Unto Thee our glory, now and for eternity. Heaven and earth are full of Thee. Holy, holy, one in three. Laudamus, 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 we pray. Lord, this joyful day, we bow and bow, we bow Thy name. Laudamus, 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 proclaim. Laudamus, 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 Laudamus,
for benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.